Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we simplify the good life. My name is Brock Dittus. I am recording this without Aaron Flores, sadly, because we only have so much time in a day before we leave town for our bicycle trip. So I'm just bringing you just a little bit of wraparound for this fantastic interview that we had with Maddie Carlson and Katie Proctor. So just wanted to let you guys know, first of all, that we are coming from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia. We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally, with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way. We cover bicycling, trains and transit, and simpler living, and today, bicycling with a family, especially in Seattle. And you'll hear everything that Maddie has to say about that in just a couple of minutes. Before we go to that, though, just had to share that I had a fantastic time last night going to transportation trivia, and I feel very lucky to live in a city whose government supports this. I believe this is a government event. I don't know, actually. It used to be held at the Radio Room, which is just a bar up on Alberta Street, but this event last night, which apparently happens two times a year, I thought it was more frequent, but it is not. So I feel doubly lucky to have been there. It was at City Hall, and how many places can you walk into City Hall, sit down, eat some food, drink some beer after having paid an admission fee, of course, and then answer questions about incredibly arcane transportation-related topics? It is fascinating to me. I can't believe that it's a thing that exists, but I am excited. I was on Team Four Wheels, No Motor with Corey Poole and also with Bob and Craig, and we answered some questions. We just said, hey, what do we know? And we knew, you know, I think we knew about half of the questions. This is really, really specified knowledge. Good stuff, but still, only certain people know these things, I think. I was across the room from both Steph Routh, who was on the, I believe they had won last time. They were the reigning champions, and they surrendered their trophy to the new champions that were announced that night after the end of all the competition. But Steph was on the team called, I believe, Max Tracks In Your Face. And then Lily was on the team called Separated Psychopaths, which was also a great name. Tons and tons of puns floating around this room. And again, Portland City Hall, it's a beautifully vaulted ceiling. It has this fantastic space with usually used for governmental purposes, but again, full of people having a good time, getting excited about things, about transportation and beer. So there was also, oh yes, that's right, the other team that I can't remember which name. I believe Separated Psychopaths won the name competition. There was another one called Vision Bureau. Clever ploy, or clever take rather, on, you know, the thing that everyone is talking about these days, about keeping people safer on the roadways. So, yeah, it was emceed by Peter Kuntz, who works for the City of Portland, and also it was sponsored this night by the Community Cycling Center, and they were nice enough, actually, to let me set up a tab for beer, because it was basically a cash-only bar, but they were also, all the beer, all the proceeds from the beer, donated by Hopworks, was going to be given to the Community Cycling Center. And so they let me set up a tab by putting in my credit card information onto one of the donation envelopes, keeping track of how many beers I had purchased, and, you know, at the end of the night, settling up and having enjoyed some good beers, being able to support a fantastic local establishment. The Community Cycling Center, of course, is fantastic. Michael Tetta, who we've had on the show before, was there. He gave a little pitch speech in the middle, talking about how they're working with, most recently, the Hacienda up in the Cully neighborhood. They're working on getting people on bicycles there, and apparently the biggest problem that they are running up against is the issue of bicycle parking. And I think that is an issue that probably affects more people than not. I mean, the place I live now definitely does not have bicycle parking. I would like it to. But they are working on this for people who would like to bike, the interested but concerned. So I'm a big fan of the Community Cycling Center. Really glad they are around. Glad they do what they do. And yeah, anyways, I hope that I hope they continue doing good work. I know they will. I know they can. All they need is our support and us coming alongside them as community members. So it's worth knowing, if you don't live in Portland, who it is in your community that does work like that. So anyways, transportation trivia. It's coming up again in August, if I'm not mistaken. All right, well, here's our interview with Maddie Carlson and Katie Proctor on Riding with a Family. Thank you for riding through the rain.
Oh, no problem. I'm earning my socks today.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Which, oh, there you go. Oh, oh, right, right. The ones that say badass on them.
Yes.
Those are good socks.
Thank you.
Right. And were we talking last week about if they were inside out, they would be Sadab?
Sadab.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. There we go. Perfect.
I had to look at it.
All right. Well, can we introduce you, Maddie?
Yeah, please.
Maddie Carlson. You're involved with a bunch of things.
Yeah, Seattle Critical Mass, Seattle Critical Lass, basically anything that rhymes with critical mass but is not critical mass.
Okay. Also rhymes
cute
with
and
badass.
Fluffy. Yeah, yeah, and badass. and the Seattle DRT.
Excellent.
Oh, and Family Bike.
And Family Bike, which is relatively new, you were saying, right?
Morgan, who runs Family Bike as the executive director, has been around for eons, but she turned it into a real nonprofit with a board recently.
Gotcha. So. Yeah. And once you're official, then you can do all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Excellent. And we've also got Katie Proctor.
Hi.
Former guest. And how long has it been? It's been like 2 years.
I think it's been about 2 years.
Yeah. Because we were saying it's like two houses away from where we're recording now.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yes. Two locations along.
It's been too long. Thank you for coming back to join.
I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. Aaron, thank you for biking through the rain.
Sure.
I was at Velocult earlier. I was hanging out with Michael Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
And Velocult is just far enough away to not need the rain legs. But also just far enough to feel like you're wet by the time you get home.
Yeah.
So
I had that yesterday from where I live. I'm not very far to the East Portland Police Precinct.
Oh, right.
And I was taking a class over there.
I was going to say, did you have to go there?
I did.
They didn't take you in the car, though.
Nope.
Okay, good.
I went there voluntarily this time.
This time.
Yeah. I know. I'm like growing up and stuff.
Seriously.
But it was like kind of raining. It's kind of like today, only it was like really misty. So I didn't bother with the rain legs.
Mist is devious.
And I got there and I was soaked. And then I also read the class schedule wrong and I was late.
Oh, okay.
So like pushing my way through the aisles and like, you know, rubbing my soaked jacket and pants all over everybody as I go through.
Yeah. Well, you made it. That's the important thing, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Maddie, you're no stranger to rain.
I don't like it, though. I do complain a lot.
Okay, so gotcha.
I would like a little recognition for riding through the rain.
Excellent, excellent. And you did, yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, can we talk first of all about transportation? Because you got here for the palm tree ride.
Yeah.
And you were here with your two sons.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about trains because I have a little, is it a key fob, a dongle, hanging from my saddle. And they were excited about the railroad symbol that was on it. And so we talked about that a little bit, but you have, what kind of bike do you have? Is it a Mundo?
It's a Surly Big Dummy.
Oh, I am chagrined. I'm sorry.
Nice.
Steel is real.
I feel the need to point out a pink Surly Big Dummy.
Yeah.
True.
It's nice.
No kidding.
It's Voodoo Donut pink.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. I don't have it with me right now.
Did you have that powder coated?
Yes.
Then?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. They don't come in pink normally.
I didn't think so.
Okay. Yeah. What's it take to get a cargo bike of that size powder coated?
Well, in Seattle, let's see, I think a regular bike is $135 for the frame, forks, and fenders, and it was just like 10 or 20 more.
Oh, okay.
And then the basket was $35.
Not
and
so
the rolling
bad.
Jackass?
That, I think, was included. It was Holland Collins' idea
because
they were already there to get painted black, and they had leftover pink. Yeah, I was trying to convince them, just leave it black. But
So what is this? The
kickstand.
Oh, right. Because once you have that much steel, you need to keep it upright somehow.
Well, and you need a nice, big, broad, two-footed, pink steel kickstand.
So the kickstand is pink, as is the bike. That's fantastic. Yeah. Are you familiar with Holland? I mean, are you friends with Holland Collins?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, because he made the trailer for previous guest, Adam Lehrer, from Co-Creative Pruning, I believe.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And
the tree guy.
Yeah, exactly. We talked a lot about trees on that episode. It was great. He has a fabulous trailer from them. And yeah.
It's like super thin, but also really long, right?
Yeah, for sure. Well, it's narrow enough to fit within a bike lane, but it's also like.
With stuff strapped on the side.
With like ladders and shit. Yeah. What he had ladders. He had like the, what is it, a banana saw and other things, like all kinds of articulated pruning implements. So yeah. Yeah. But Hall and Colin does some great work. Yeah. I'm a big fan. So yeah. So anyways, I met you on the palm tree ride and right. we said, hey, you should come in and talk about family biking someday. And here you are in person. We didn't have to Skype. We didn't have to do anything. You came back to Portland.
Just like that.
Yeah.
And yeah, this is my second visit back since then.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So you like Portland a lot.
We do like Portland.
Yeah. Well, one of the nice things is that you can get your full size cargo bike on and it cargo bike, family bike. I guess it's both.
Yeah.
How do you refer to it?
I usually say cargo bike.
Okay, yeah.
Because family bike could just be like my old regular size bike with two kid seats on it.
Oh,
even
sure.
Back when I had one kid seat or a bike in a trailer is still a family bike.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so you've put that on the Bolt bus many times, right?
Yeah, as long as there's room and you can fit it in, they'll let you put anything on there.
Yeah, and Portland and Seattle are well connected by the Bolt bus system, which I've only ridden once and never with a bike. So mm-hmm. what's the experience like when you put your bike on this bus?
It's a little different every time, and you get what you pay for, and uh-huh. it's a very cheap ride. So, you know, it's rushed, and you have to get it in yourself. And I've had friends who don't want to ride again because the drivers were not so nice uh-huh. about them getting their bikes in a timely manner. But okay. Our last time down, they were worried there wouldn't be room, which is, you know, I'm like, okay, if we can't fit, we don't fit. So I almost didn't make the palm tree ride. But there was room. So, you know, it's a little nerve wracking every time.
Yeah.
But if it fits, it's on. And yeah.
Okay. So how much would someone have to worry about getting their bike on the Bolt bus? Like, have you ever seen someone denied?
No, okay. No, I haven't. I mean, I've only done it. I think we've taken Bolt bus 4 times now round trip.
Okay.
And, you know, it's probably in your best interest to not go at peak times.
Sure.
So yeah, I don't know what those are, but I'd imagine like Friday and Sunday.
Sure. Okay. So if you can afford to go on like a Tuesday or something, that's far easier, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But also the Bolt bus is built around the model that you're not taking a bunch of cargo with you, right? Like generally it's not someone who has like 3 suitcases already with them or something. It's
They are Greyhound buses with the big baggage bays, so
but usually I and again this is only from the one time that I've ridden the Bolt bus, but it's the idea is usually that people are carrying less cargo with them than it would be for a longer haul Greyhound, I guess
so.
Ride.
Well, yeah, and it doesn't go so far, so
right.
It's just very small and regional, so.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to move cities with Bolt bus.
True. Yeah. That's what Amtrak Freight is for. Yeah. Well, that's really cool. It was exciting to see that happen and just to hear that it had happened because one of the big oversights with Amtrak specifically, and we love Amtrak. We're about to ride on Amtrak in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Matter
today.
Of fact, by the time someone hears this, we will be in California.
Yeah.
Having
have
used.
Have ridden the Amtrak.
Yeah. And you won't be puking this time.
Holy shit.
Which is a terrible. Either of you guys hear this story?
No.
Aaron on his first ride on Amtrak on the Coast Starlight.
I can't like have an Amtrak story that's ever going to like overshadow this.
Right. Well, we all got sick. This was the ill-fated trip where we were taking a bike tour to Crater Lake, and we the family we were biking with, they had 2 kids, 2 trailers, and I was carrying a 3rd cargo trailer to carry extra supplies, but the entire family. Within the first like 3
they
or 4
they brought
days.
It with them.
Yes, they had some sort of like epidemic.
Influenza.
Yeah. Yeah, so everyone was losing their lunch. Everyone was out of energy. And eventually they had to call in-laws to come and pick. Well, I guess it was Adam's parents and Jody's in-laws. But the grandparents had to come and pick up the kids.
Yeah.
And so that left you and I and Adele.
Adele, carriers of the virus.
Right, was carrying the virus first. And so she got sick the second to last night of our trip.
It was the day we reached Crater Lake.
Yeah.
And then we found that shelter in
Annie Creek,
on
the south side. Yeah, and then so she was throwing up, and so they came and picked up her. And then you and I rode back to the parents to Klamath Falls, just outside where that was like our endpoint destination.
Right.
So you got sick like the night before.
The night before we left.
Yeah, which was ridiculous.
And then all through the morning and most of the day.
Yeah, all the way on the train, all the way home.
Yeah,
yeah. You were drinking Pedialyte.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's my drink of choice.
Yeah.
When everything is exiting my body, and
we're gonna have to pack some of that along with us for this next trip, just in case.
I pray we don't need to, but it's probably one of those things we might be benefiting from having on hand.
Yeah. Do either of you have experience with Pedialyte?
No.
Okay.
But, and I do want to point out that the Bolt bus only has one bathroom. So, you know, you're better off on Amtrak in that situation.
You can lock down one for your very own. Yeah. Yeah. And bus bathrooms are never like amazing.
No.
They're okay. In fact.
And at least the one on the Amtrak that we rode was, you know, down a ways. Yeah. Down a flight of steps.
On the lower level.
Yeah.
Nowhere near where you were sitting.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
I actually have a Bolt bus tip for the Bolt bus bathrooms. I went with my four-year-old who was, I guess he was less than that at the time. He was very recently potty trained. It was very exciting.
Congratulations.
It was a year ago or something. but it was very exciting. He was going to use the potty on the bus, by golly.
Oh, yeah.
But he really wanted the light to be on in the bathroom before we closed the door and it was dark, and that was scary. Turns out the lights in the Bolt bus bathroom are an interlock with the door.
They only turn on when the door closes.
They do not turn on until the door has closed and latched. So you are a small child and you need the light to be on before, you will stand there for really quite a long time trying to figure out how to turn the lights on.
That is rough.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was fine.
Yeah, it worked out okay in the end.
We were all okay.
Okay, yeah. But the interlock is very important.
It's good to know that there's an interlock. Really, there should have been some sort of signage indicating an interlock is what I'm feeling about the situation.
We had a scary experience, too, the first time in the Bolt bus bathroom. Because it's dark until you figure that out.
Okay,
If you close the door quickly, it's fine. But if you close the door slowly because you're looking for the light switch, then you're in trouble.
It's like ripping a Band-Aid off. You just have to do it all at once.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, Maddie, tell us about, first of all, what's it like to be a cyclist in Seattle?
Oh, could you tell I was shell-shocked when I came in here? I get this feeling when I ride around Portland because it's so nice here. So it's a little different in Seattle. The people drive faster. I think part of it is because our streets don't force motorists to drive slower, but I think a lot of it is just, you know, it's a big city and people feel like they have to get around quickly and do their big city things.
Mm, yeah.
I've only lived there 5 years. I'm not a native Seattleite, so I still think of it as the big city.
Right.
There are some distracted drivers that I see every day texting, blowing through stop signs. But we have some really nice, the Burke Gilman Trail is a rails to trail.
I'm a big fan of the Burke Gilman, yeah.
Trail, and most of my commuting is along that. Or we have neighborhood greenways based on the Bike Boulevard greenways projects here that are great. We have a lot of busy roads with sharrows or even not with sharrows, and it's a little stressful.
Okay.
Although in our downtown, you're allowed to bike on the sidewalk, which
is
nice. Yeah.
Opposed to Portland.
Yeah. It's such a shame that, you know, that's like the best rule in Seattle, that you are allowed to bike on the sidewalk and you have to utilize it. On a big, slow family bike. If I'm alone on this bike, I don't use the sidewalks.
Zip around.
Yeah.
This is your Specialized, which is, it's been modified to what does it say now?
This side says SAD, back from when they were suing Cafe Roubaix, and the other side says P.
Okay.
Because there are only so many options you can get. And as I pointed out before, I live with an incontinent chihuahua and two small little boys. So there's a lot of pee
there's
all over
the
house.
There's a lot of sad pee.
Yeah. It makes me sad.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I guess I could untape it, but it's probably all sticky underneath. So
right.
I guess it'll stay.
Just roll with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So throwing kids into the mix then, we're talking about, first of all, you find Seattle to be not quite as friendly as Portland?
No, I don't think anywhere in America is as friendly as Portland.
Oh, okay. Come on. It's nice of you to say. But you've done both.
Yeah.
So what are things that you are aware of between the two? Like what does it take maybe to bicycle with kids in Seattle that it doesn't take in Portland?
Well, so one thing, just with our topography, we have narrower streets.
Okay.
Because it's really hard to grade, you know, wide streets. They'd rather do narrower. And so that's part of it. So there's less room. But also, I just think part of that is the mindset. In Seattle, if there's a wide street, the cars are going to drive faster. And that doesn't seem to be the case here. Or maybe it was like, you know, 10, 20 years ago. But nowadays, everyone's so nice, and I will say the only time I've been screamed at by a motorist was here in Portland.
Oh, okay. So what was the situation?
This was, I think it was 2 or 3 Feats of Parenthoods ago when we were down for the parent, obstacle course, I guess you would call it, that Clever Cycles runs.
Really, really exciting. I wanted to go to the last one this last year, but I can't remember what was happening. Something probably not as important, but no, I was not there. Yeah.
But yeah, so we were staying by the convention center and I was following other cyclists over the top of the steel bridge. I didn't know how to get down to the bottom. Very nice bike path, right, which is now our favorite because it's right by the train.
Yeah, but the steel bridge has both. Like, you can access it from the top.
I think you're allowed to be on the top,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I kept following people over, and this guy pulled up alongside us and said, "You're going to kill those kids." yeah. So
he has, like, two daggers to throw instead of one.
Oh, my goodness.
One, you're
yeah.
a bicyclist. Two, what are you doing to those children?
Oh, it was so scary. My husband was like, he'd already been yelling at me, "I think we're in the wrong spot." I'm like, "I've been going this way all week."
Well, yeah, and you are legally permitted to be there, I think.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
As far as I know.
Okay, that's good to know. I mean, I assumed because we kept doing it and I kept seeing people. Yeah. So, yeah, so we hopped over the railing.
Oh.
So he like, so my husband hopped over the railing to the sidewalk with his bike, and then we took the kids off one by one and gave them to him, and then we carried my heavy bike over.
Right,
that,
right.
This was before the cargo bike, so this would have, I think, been... Well, no, let's see. I think we came down with the little bike, but because there was no Bolt bus then. So
right.
I came on Amtrak with my city bike that had two kid seats. So this would have been, yeah, I guess like 2 years ago.
Okay, yeah.
And so only 50 pounds of bike, not 75 pounds of bike to lift up and over that railing in the middle of the busy street. So. But other than that one incident, I love riding in Portland.
Right, right, right. You know, the only time I've ever had guff from motorists that was appreciable in the past 5 years was probably on the steel bridge as well. Because I was downtown for a traffic ticket I thought I was going to have to contest. And it turned out to be the wrong day. But I was on my way to work from downtown. It was actually the morning that the snowpocalypse started.
Oh, really?
So I got in work off in the morning, and then I was going in to do, like, my middle-of-the-day stuff. And I was coming over the steel bridge on the top just because, like, you know, it's fast that way. And apparently I'm scrappy, and I like doing that sort of thing. And so the way that it worked out was I got up onto the top of the deck, and after all the climbing, I'm going pretty slowly. And so I'm just kind of, like, making my way back up to speed on the top deck of the steel bridge, and a big dude in a big truck. He might have been a small dude in a big truck, but, you know. Big truck. And so he's behind me and big old horn blast.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's the intolerance of the suburbs.
I guess.
That's my guess.
Yeah. There's lanes on the steel bridge, isn't there?
There's two lanes.
Well, there's a bike lane there, though.
I don't believe there's one on the steel bridge.
Not on the steel.
There's one on the, well, no, there's a different deck on the Broadway.
Maybe I'm thinking of the Broadway then.
Okay. Yeah. Anyways, yeah, similar situation on the steel bridge. I think that's the place probably to stay away from. Not because it's illegal, but just because it's no fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm just wondering, is this the same traffic ticket you told us about on the palm tree ride or another one?
Probably so, yeah. No, because of bureaucracy, it's now been, it was the first snow here in town. And that was when I kind of like inched through the red light camera intersection and got photographed. And yeah, I think that it's been like 3 months now.
This is not what you told us about on the palm tree
ride. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
No, it couldn't have been.
Interesting.
The palm tree ride was before the snow.
Oh, this just happened. No, this was at work.
Okay.
I don't know if I should say it.
No, it's okay. No, I do.
You should tell the story. I might tell it more interestingly if I tell it wrong.
I'm sure you have, yeah, a more entertaining perspective. No, it was because we've had two periods of snow here. The first one was a kind of a light dusting. But it was just enough for accumulation, so I ended up rolling through this intersection because it seemed like the safer thing to do than slam on the brakes and slide into the middle of the intersection. Things had just gotten slippery. So that happened, it was like between Thanksgiving and Christmas, I think. So the next period of snow, I didn't get any traffic tickets at all. But because of bureaucracy, I got the actual infraction happened December or something like that. And now it's March, and they have not yet mailed me the revised ticket. Because the first one goes to my employer. They say, yeah, that's our guy. You should ticket him. And then the second ticket comes to my address, but that has not yet come. So I'm guessing by April, maybe I'll have a citation in my own name. And then I'll have to go back to court and maybe request a court date or something
or not.
Like that.
Sometimes they just let them go.
I would like it if it fell through the cracks. I would be
seriously,
completely okay with that.
That's happened to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with the work van.
Okay.
The issue I ran into more recently was getting my picture taken. And then now that I live where I work, you know, I can't say, go send it to this guy at this
different
address. Right. And so, yeah, it came to me and I ended up paying that one.
Oh, okay. Right, right. Yeah. And at this point, like, because it's taken so long, like, I just want to, I would probably pay it and just like get rid of it, right. But don't tell the city.
Well, and either way, plenty of time for route planning if you do want to go back.
No kidding. Yeah, seriously. speaking of bikes, you don't have to worry about that sort of thing when you're biking kids to school. Is this a thing that you guys are close to?
Biking kids to school? Yeah, I have a first grader and a preschooler.
Nice. So,
yeah.
So are you close enough to school to get them there by bike? Oh, or?
Yeah, we're kind of too close to our elementary school. It's only two blocks away, but the 3 days a week, we have to go 2 miles away to preschool.
Okay.
And then I have just enough time, 20 minutes, to get from preschool back to home to drop the other one off. If his start times were even 5 minutes different, I think I would need an electric assist. So
staggered schedules are a killer.
I'm really lucky. It's just perfect the way it works out.
Excellent.
But yeah, next year when they're both at the same school and it's only two blocks away, I'm not sure I'm going to get soft.
Oh,
you know?
Sure. Well, I suppose that could happen. Yeah. But the big dummy, I mean, you could roll it out. At some point, more for show than for actual functionality.
I think what we probably will do is go
I'm sorry, I didn't uphill. Mean to say that. Sounds terrible.
Go uphill out of our way to like pick up a bike train the way in.
But so everything those exist farther in Seattle as well?
So I think some do, yeah. Okay. We don't have a big network.
You can just sign them up for soccer in the suburbs or something. And
right. You build
Why
some
do
travel.
We have to go all the way here, Mom?
Because I need this.
Right
I need
this.
Yeah, the bike train thing it's been building momentum here in Portland. And are you part of one, Katie?
I'm not. Okay. My kids are both in a private preschool.
Okay.
So it's kind of sometimes there are two other families that bike to the preschool, but mostly it's a pretty car-centric place.
Okay, yeah. And not enough people, like, there's not a critical mass, if you will, to get people from one neighborhood to another. Like,
no,
everyone's coming from
it's,
different directions.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And a lot, actually, from the sort of outer west side.
So okay.
It would be hard.
Yeah, yeah. There is that. Okay, yeah. What do you notice, Maddie, as you're traveling with your family? What are your kids into it?
Pretty. They're kind of oblivious because at red lights they always have someone saying, "Do you guys realize how lucky you are?" And they just give the best like confused blank look at these people. They have no idea.
Because they grew up with it. It's not
out
of the norm.
I guess that's
them.
A good sign. Yeah. But I'm hoping at some point it'll sink in. It'll be like, wow, we are lucky. And, you know, every once in a while there's a picture of us in the paper and then the schoolmates see. And that kind of like makes it more exciting. Holland Collin was CycleFab. His company was just in the Seattle Times.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And our kickstand was in the B-roll of the video.
There you go.
Yeah.
Was that B-roll that made it to the actual?
It was. Actually, we were really lucky to get the kids engaged. I told them that he was going to want to take pictures of them jumping off the deck.
Okay.
That's the power of this kickstand.
Yes. Right.
You know, any other kickstand, you still have to hold the bike while the kids are standing on it. But, climbing upon it. But this one, it just holds the bike so steady. I stand on my flight deck to see over fences and take pictures from up high. And, so, you know, I emailed the guy and I said, you know, they think you're going to be taking pictures of them jumping off the bike, but just, you know, you don't really have to click. But he did. He filmed them and did pictures and it's in the video and it was in the Seattle Times. So that was pretty exciting.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
How unusual are you folks for using a bicycle for transport with a family in Seattle?
2 years ago, there weren't too many, but it's getting more and more.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's still unusual, but I'm not the only cargo biker people see with kids on board.
Do you have stock responses that you give to people? Or
No, but I need them.
Okay. You got to come up with it. So what are the questions you need stock responses to? We'll help you craft them here.
Oh, geez. I don't know. Ask Katie a question. I'll think of some stuff.
Katie, do you have stock responses?
Oh, I really do.
Okay.
I really do.
Throw them at us.
Let's see. I think there's the general grunting that looks really hard that men throw at me as they pass me.
Right.
And I have a very cheerful smiling keeps me out of the gym, which goes pretty well.
Bam. Yeah. Sucker punch. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see what else. It's my minivan. That's what I say.
Any responses to like people who like question the safety of the kids, like, oh, you're putting those kids in jeopardy.
I haven't heard that in years.
Oh, yeah. Around here, I guess you don't get it as much.
So I've had the kids on the bike. I mean, I've had my son on my bike since he was 7 weeks old, and he's four and a half now. So I have had a kid on a bike for 4.5 years.
Right.
And it was worse, I think partly because he was an infant and partly because there were just so fewer people on bikes. It's before Emily Finch moved to town. There was not like family bikes in the news all the time. With Emily lives two blocks from me. With Emily on the news, like, I look perfectly sane and conservative, you know?
That's the joy that she's brought to town for any
Emily
other parent.
Not that Emily is not sane.
Neither sane.
But I do feel that, like, it's been a long time since I've gotten criticism for having the kids on the bike. Right. I get much more sort of pointing, smiling, hey, did you see that? Which is nice. I mean, our morning commute, getting out the door is always awful because I have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, and getting 2-year-olds and 4-year-olds out the door, it's awful. I think that's a universal truth.
Already tricky.
But once we're on the bike, it's amazing. We go over the Hawthorne. It's in the commute, the sort of peak commute hours. There's a ton of people on bikes. We had one morning last week where there were actually not only more women than men in the bike box waiting to go over the Hawthorne Bridge, but more children than adults in the bike box to go over the Hawthorne
Bridge.
Which
is pretty awesome.
Which was amazing.
That's pretty sweet. Yeah.
There were two, my friend Ingrid and I each had our two kids on the backs of our long tails, and then there was another bike with a trailer with two kids in it. And so altogether there were 6 children and I think 5 adults waiting to go over the bridge.
That's pretty great.
So it's... and my kids are they're very loud. They're very singy on the bike. They always have, there's a soundtrack. They argue over who's going to sing the first song as we cross the bridge. And so they're immensely entertaining to our fellow commuters.
Nice.
I'm a big fan of that.
What's on the charts for these kids? What do they like to say?
Take Me Home Country Roads.
Oh, there we go.
Is very popular. There is an ABC's medley, which includes ABC Bob, where you replace some of the letters with Bob and then you kill yourself laughing because it's really funny to
it's
replace
a funny
some
name.
Of the
right, exactly. It's not Bob's not supposed to be there.
Right.
Bob
right.
is not a letter of the alphabet.
The, yeah. Wait, can we practice this? A, B, C, D, Bob. Ah!
See, it's good.
See, it works. It works perfectly. I have the quote from Emily Finch here, actually, that I saw on Facebook the other day. She says, "Ugh, men in pickup trucks with savior complexes. It's worse than getting rained on."
Yeah, she said as she was towing home a door on the top of her
Christiania
truck.
Yeah, this is the picture here. Did I send this to you?
Oh,
you
yeah.
This? Yeah, this is pretty great.
Because men in pickup trucks would rather carry her door for her than let her carry it home on the top of her car.
Right. Well, it's more painful to a man to see his pickup truck go unused.
Can I just tell you, when I first saw that, I, being not in Portland and getting most of my news from her Facebook and Portlandia, I thought she had been trying to carry it home with her Brompton, and then someone
right.
with a Christiania pulled up and insisted on carrying it for her.
I like
because
this.
I am so like jaded by the bikes.
Yeah, yeah. I like this version of events better. That sounds like that's a more entertaining story, really.
But then I realized what was really going on.
Yeah, yeah. Well, testosterone is bad, and as a man with a lot of testosterone, I think I can say that. And I'll take all the guff for
testosterone
it.
Testosterone has its uses.
I suppose so, yeah. Moving doors onto the bike.
For example.
Yeah. I mean, not saying that, well, yeah, I'm about to dig myself a hole here.
You keep shoveling.
Speaking of guff. I'm curious, Maddie, have you been the brunt of guff from people? Is anyone saying like, oh, you shouldn't be doing this?
I'm not sure if I misunderstood this. It's kind of nice to just be, you know, distracted by the children and miss things. Mm-hmm. But we were riding over one of our drawbridges and a very overweight guy said, well, that's a good idea. And it sounded like he was being sarcastic, but maybe he did think it was a good idea. I mean, he was enormous. So,
right.
you know, and he was walking.
This is the
getting
boomerang.
Exercise.
So you can
so
smile
I'm really
and
not,
wave and say
yeah,
thanks.
Yeah. So usually
it
I just.
It is a good idea.
Yeah. Pretend I'm not sure what they're saying and smile and wave.
Right.
But yeah, you really don't get that much. I think a lot of
that's
people.
Good.
Yeah. This is an awful story. We were riding. So we were crossing this like busy road where they just closed down like 5 motels for prostitution. So like that kind of part of town.
Okay. Right. Aurora
and,
Avenue?
Yeah. Aurora.
Right,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It's Highway 99. Wait, no, which is, that's McLaughlin here. I was going to say that's 82nd. 82nd
is
213 State Route, Oregon. So never mind.
Okay.
But yes.
And a guy in a pickup truck pulled up behind me and asked if he could help. And I had no idea what he was talking about. And he's like, well, you know, $5 or something. You're homeless, right?
What?
I
because you're carrying
I'm
your
still
kids
not
on
over
the bike?
I think so. It was raining.
Wow.
But I mean, but also it's Seattle. And so then, you know, I'm like, we're not homeless. And I'm like, wait, why did you think that? And he says, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't have my glasses on.
Ah.
So then I spent the rest of the day freaking out about this guy in an enormous truck driving around without glasses. His glasses. My husband assured me that it's probably, he just was trying to like save face, but he'd like gone by us apparently and did a U-turn, and he was like so worried that he wanted to, you know, help me out.
Yeah.
So what'd you do with the $5?
I should have taken the $5. I didn't take the $5. I did not take the $5. The funny thing is, we were on our way to the thrift store, and like 5 minutes before, I had had like all these bags of crap on the bike. But we saw a Boys and Girls Club like donation truck. So I didn't end up bringing them all the way to the thrift store, because I normally would have still had them on the bike. I have been mistaken.
Maybe that's when he saw
friends.
You.
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and you're in Seattle, home of Macklemore, who is a fan of popping tags, which we are also a fan of. That's a decent pastime.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite thrift store?
Value Village. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
There you go. Yeah. I grew up going to Value Village all the time.
Cool.
That was it was like a weekly ritual for us, just to go and see what kind of cool shit you could find, and we found some cool shit. Let me tell you, it was good. So I was going to ask about how you got into this in the first place. Were you a bicyclist before you were a family bicyclist, or did the bicycle drop into your life when the kids did?
Well, off and on, like I went to college at UC Santa Barbara, which is very bike friendly. And
that's
I
a nice
biked
town.
To high school until I turned 18 and could get my driver's license.
Yeah. And Santa Barbara has those three, crosstown routes, right? There's like the beach route, the center town, and at least when I was there.
I have no idea.
No worries.
I just stayed in Isla Vista, and I'd go like downtown every once in a while, but yeah. I don't know. And let's see. So my mom was Dutch and is the only one from her family who moved out here. So all my cousins ride bikes with their kids, and we would visit every few years when I was little and rent bikes. And my grandmother would like drag us on these long rides, and we'd have so much trouble keeping up. So it's like in my blood. And so as soon as my first son turned one, we got the same little front seat, the Bow Bike Mini that all my cousins had and everyone in the Netherlands has, and it's just going to happen no matter what, even though at the time we lived in Las Vegas, and I would not call that the most bike friendly city.
What is biking in Vegas like?
Well, you know, we were lucky. We lived in a neighborhood in Henderson next to Vegas. And I think at one point Henderson was voted one of the top 10 American walking cities.
Really?
So there are a lot of paths. I mean, it's too hot to be outside 6 months of the year, but I rode to a play date in, it probably wasn't even summer, but it felt like summer, and it was less than a mile away, and I had a lay down for like an hour. It was like, I was so dehydrated.
Yeah.
But we could ride to like the library and the park and our closest casino, which is also a shopping center, but
sure.
And casino.
It's all rolled into one.
Yeah, it is. So yeah, we could get around pretty easily. So
nice.
Yeah, and it's actually better than walking. Because if you walk those places, people stop and ask if you know if your car ran out of gas. So
sure.
If you're on the bike, you look like you're going somewhere on
purpose.
Here's
$5.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it is
draw assistance to you. That's kind of nice.
Well, it was the guy, I'm trying to remember his name. Brian, I want to say. The guy that built the huge bike RV. I don't know if you, Aaron, have ever met him. But,
I've never met him. We ran into a guy.
A guy who had one that he built. That, yeah. Katie, you know the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure.
Rostaman. Mm-hmm. I think he introduced himself to me as one time. But just the enormous like bike RV.
Yeah.
And I believe he had a donation slot on his bike so that if you're walking by and you're like, oh, that's cool, you could just slip $5 into it. So, yeah. Maybe more of us should have those.
I guess
maybe
more of us should have those.
I'm going to incorporate like a little cash box on my...
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, or maybe like some sort of magnetic card reader so that people could just kind of, leave a little iPhone hooked up to your seat and just leave it there. I'm into that. Yeah. Also, I think one of our listeners, the Stickman, lives in Vegas right now.
Oh, yeah.
And he was talking about how it's really difficult to apply for a job if you bicycle. Like, not everyone...
They don't count that as viable transportation applications.
Right, yeah.
Well, and that's an issue that Bike Portland has covered occasionally, because that can be an issue here, too,
mm-hmm.
That there's employers sort of in a standard way say, do you need to have a car or you don't have transportation?
Yeah. Yeah. And back when I was first when I first moved to town, it was for college, and I was considering doing UPS box sorting overnight. Mm-hmm. And I believe at that point they said that a bicycle was not an acceptable form of transportation. I think they've probably changed on that since then.
Mm-hmm.
And Lenny Anderson, another former show guest, we give him major props for changing Swan Island and all the other places that like UPS, changing their minds and saying, hey, people can get to work however they damn well please. And Yeah, but Vegas not so friendly. Yeah. So did you go from Vegas to Seattle then?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. We were in San Diego before that. I was only in Vegas a year and a half. My husband was there 3 years.
Okay.
So I don't want anyone to think I'm a Las Vegan. So in retrospect, it was a very, very interesting experiment.
Suffer the thought. Yeah. What about San Diego? Because I've heard that San Diego is also not as friendly to bicycling as it might seem.
Yeah. And, you know, when I lived in San Diego, I lived in Pacific Beach and everything I did was within that, like, you know, 10 mm-hmm. block radius. And, you know, I rode my beach cruiser all over the place. But I never left PB. So
yeah,
I also read if you want to go farther than it's a very compartmentalized. So I think it's a lot easy for a lot of people to, you know, live in an area and do all their, I didn't work in PB. I had to drive to work and then drive back. But everything else I did was in my one little neighborhood.
Yeah.
So that works well. But yeah, if you want to actually get somewhere farther than 10 blocks away, it's a little harder.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And that was part of the reason that VeloCult is in Portland now, because it started in San Diego. And I think they found that it wasn't the kind of town that would support what they do.
Well, they couldn't expand any further than what they already had as well.
That's true. Space-wise?
No, like clientele.
And clientele. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
They were in a good neighborhood. They weren't there yet when I was still in San Diego, but.
Okay. Yeah. So what about this critical last thing?
So let's see. I think there's one in Chicago and one in a city. I can't remember which one in Canada. And a woman who lives in Seattle used to live there, and her friends, she had started that one with friends. So we decided, hey, we should start one here.
Yeah.
Although I think for anyone listening in other cities, I think you can just start one. You don't need to ask permission
right.
or have been from one of those cities. Uh-huh. So yeah, it's just a social, easy, slow paced ride for women. You can bring your kids along. The Chicago group is kind of funny. They have like on their about page, I think the children are not allowed to talk and they must be confined to their trailers and not bother us. But,
speak when spoken to.
We don't want to, you know, create any additional barriers. So I wanted to found it as a way to get out without my kids for a change. But more often than not, I have to bring them along anyway. But so the idea is, you know, if you're a woman, you want to, you know, find some new routes, ride with friends, you come to a critical last ride.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Do you have a memorable ride from recent memory?
Two rides ago, we just did a little loop and got rained on so badly. But it was one of those bonding experience things. So there were seven of us, and we will be bonded by the cold and the rain forever now.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, hardship is a huge bonding agent.
Yeah.
It makes everyone's emotions like, are probably so close to the surface when you're under hardship. And then you say, like, we all did that together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had one earlier in nice weather I can barely remember the summer, but Sally Bagshaw, our councilwoman, came along and we rode to the locks, and it was just really cute seeing her down in the locks and looking at the fish ladder. So it's where the salmon swim upstream.
This is Ballard.
Yeah. 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 And fortunately, she had to leave to go, I think, to a meeting after that, because then we were exploring our new Ballard Greenway, and the city had put in some of the stuff, but not all the stuff yet at this point. So we went through an intersection where cars had to turn right or left and only bikes could go straight. And they had built the island that prevented the cars from coming straight, but they hadn't yet put up the signs that said no cars. And so we went through, and a woman in a station wagon followed us through, and we heard
like, all right,
her tires scrape, because it was just, it was almost wide enough. I mean, you can't blame her. So thank goodness Sally wasn't there to see that, because it was kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, I suppose.
That was very memorable though.
That's rough.
And I think they're working on putting things in the right order, because there was also, I think, the same greenway, they put the Sharrows on the road, and then they fixed the pavement by repaving over the brand new Sharrows.
Oh, so they were there like for like a couple hours and then gone.
Yeah, that's all right. Those Sharrows don't mean anything. Yeah.
Well, I would love if like the Sharrow became the new symbol of neighborhood greenway, you know?
Well, and that's how they get used here.
So, yeah.
But in Seattle, there is this weird affinity for putting them on the right lane of a busy street.
Yeah,
because
that counts
kills
as bicycle.
Me. Oh, it's a terrible piece of infrastructure.
Okay, yeah. I was going to ask you how you felt about it, but that's it.
Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah,
put in a bike lane if you want to put in a bike lane. Mm-hmm. But don't pretend like putting Sharrows on the street is going to keep people going 40 from running you over.
Right. Okay. Interesting. Yeah, because there's a couple of different schools of thought about how Sharrows should be used, and Portland and Seattle have they are in different parts of those thought camps. But we do have the St. John's Bridge, which has sheroes on
yes,
on two of the lanes, I believe.
I have ridden the St. John's Bridge with caravans of Bachfietzen.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your experience like with that, Katie?
It's always been really good.
Okay.
It should be terrifying, and I never have had it been, mm-hmm. Maybe just because of the times we've been riding. But last summer we took a whole caravan. Were you here for Trek in the Park?
I broke off right before the bridge.
You didn't
though,
go,
I didn't
go,
go up and over the hill.
But we took a whole caravan to Trek in the Park, and it went fine.
Okay.
It was really good.
Gotcha. Okay.
But safety in numbers is the
thing. Safety in numbers goes
twice.
A long way.
I've done it twice on my own or with one other person, and yeah, not fun.
There's also something to be said for the physical road presence of a Bachfietzen.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so they're big.
They're imposing.
They're imposing.
Yeah.
And they imply that there is a child on board, even if there is not a child on board.
Oh, sure.
And so I feel like they get some respect.
Yeah. It reminds me of the Jetsons. And I think I may have brought this up before, where it's one of the Jetsons movies, I think, where they, like, you know, all the flying cars are going along these, you know, flying car tracks or whatever. And he's in the carpool lane because this is something that's relatable to people living in the 20th century.
Right.
And he's got this inflatable passenger that, like, he inflates in the passenger seat as he's cruising home. And then he gets pulled over by, like, the space police or whatever. And and the space policeman just hands him a pin and says, "You know what to do." And so Mr. Jetson has to reach over and, like, you know, pop a hole in his inflatable passenger. And yeah. But I have never considered the idea that you could actually have a Bachfietzen and create it to look as though you had children with you, and you would get more respect on the road than if you were just on a regular bike.
True. I was riding around with an empty trailer the other day.
Yeah.
And because I don't know how to get it off. But also, I had to go down to a meeting way down in South Seattle and then race to preschool pickup. And on the one hand, I felt like an awful mother because I was riding on roads. I would not want to take a trailer on. There are roads I will ride slowly with my cargo bike, but I was riding on them quickly with the trailer. And,
right.
And I mean, you know, it's all in my head, but I'm imagining these people looking at me like, why does she have a little child on this road? But yeah, but then at
look
the same
time. Look
at the
way time, she's riding with that kid.
It would be awesome to have people with fast bikes carry around empty trailers and,
sure,
you know.
Just kind of get people used to the idea
word,
that there are visible bicyclists on this route.
Yeah.
Well, and meanwhile, when I ride with my Brompton, I put a single kid on. There's a kid seat that fits, and it puts the child in between sort of my body and the handlebars, and they hold on to the handlebars, and they have foot pegs.
What do they call that?
It used to be called the It Chair, and it's marketed as something else
now. Because those are pretty cool.
Getting manufactured in Spain, we actually had a local builder build us a copy of one in the interim of when you couldn't get them imported.
Right. And Maddie, what did you say the new name is?
Pear.
Okay.
P-E-R-E.
Okay.
But those from behind, you can't tell that there's a child on the bike because it's my body and then the child's body narrower than
me.
So it just looks like somebody on a Brompton.
Yeah. It's like you're throwing yourself over a grenade or something.
Well, and so there definitely is this moment of, like, total bewildered confusion and surprise when somebody buzzes you in a rude way and then they look over their shoulder and they see, like, a 2-year-old.
And then they feel like a terrible person.
And they feel like a terrible person. Yeah. I think they do. But I think
it's an emotional grenade.
Also, that manifests itself as anger at me.
Okay.
Right?
Oh, sure.
And I think that those are actually, they're sort of two sides of the same coin. That that feeling of, I'm a terrible person, I just buzz this child and put them in danger, there then is this expression of anger of, how dare you put that child in danger from me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's this weird, like, it's so messed up. Like, the whole dynamic between automobile drivers and bicyclists it's weird.
I am convinced that most of the hostility is about fear.
Mm-hmm.
Is about,
I'm afraid I'm going to hit you, so I'm going to be mad at you.
I didn't want to hit you. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I don't think that even the really stupid aggressive driving, I don't think is about, I want to hurt that bicyclist. I think it's about, I am uncomfortable with the feelings you cause me to have, bicyclist, and I will act that aggression out. Maybe
right.
I'm just,
yeah, I see that. Yeah.
Why are you making me hit you?
Yeah. Why are you making me, stop making me hit you?
Why are you hitting yourself? Yeah. Interesting. Huh. Well, I guess there's only so much we can do about it in the meantime. In the meantime, it's coping strategies, just kind of figuring out how to exist together and how to give that smile when you don't feel like having the smile. Huh? I guess that's part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thumbs up is my new middle finger.
because you can't take that as a middle finger.
That's right.
It's like, what a great idea.
Yeah.
It's like the guy on the sidewalk. You know, you can't tell if he's sarcastic or not.
I did swear the other day, and I had to listen to about a mile of my son behind me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he's, you know, Mama, why did you say Jesus Christ? Mama,
I thought I saw
why
him
did
over
you
there.
Say Jesus Christ? Go back to singing. We some John Denver back there.
Come on, ABC Bob, come on.
That's right. It's like the old jokes don't work anymore. What's up with this? Yeah, yeah. What is the... I'm curious, just like both of you being parents who bicycle with your children, if there's a part of you that comes out that you don't want your children to see... How do you deal with that? Is it redirection? Is it education? What's the answer?
Yeah, it's hard because you are out there with your little kids and you get mama bear sometimes really hard to keep it down. But I know a bunch of us who kind of independently have arrived at the solution of just like swallowing it and like smiling and waving. Uh-huh. And it's in a way sad because you're like smiling and waving for thanks for not hitting me. You know,
I'm being oppressed.
But it's, you know, it makes you happier because you're just like putting on a happy face and right. You know, it's a little inauthentic, but it's healthier than sure. You know, just like screaming at everyone.
Right.
And it's good for the kids to see. And now like what I do, I don't know if this is a very good solution, but when I see someone run a red light or texting. Well, not so much when they're texting that. I just kind of growl at them.
But it's illegal in Washington and in Oregon.
I had to actually Google that on my last Bolt bus ride because first our driver was talking on his phone. I was I didn't think that was
on
legal.
The Bolt bus.
Yeah. If I was the Bolt bus driver, I don't think I would start by announcing my name and saying, and let all your friends know I got you there on time. It's not early, but yeah, so I didn't notice the texting. My seatmate noticed the texting. I just saw like the phone calling.
I believe that both are considered legal if they are in pursuit of the execution of his job.
That's true.
That is
kind of
the exception
to
the law.
Yeah.
Okay. If related you are a professional business. Driver and it is related to your business.
It did not sound related to the Bolt bus. But, wow.
He's talking about Game of Thrones or something.
But what was I saying?
Texting.
So I don't really point out the texting, but when I see someone like, you know, turn left where they're not allowed to turn left, I'll kind of point it out to the kids because I need to do something. So I'll right. say, wow, that driver must be in a hurry. He just ran that stop sign.
We don't like that one.
Try to turn it into a teaching moment.
Oh,
so
sure.
That's why you always want to stop and look just in case someone's not going to pay attention to the stop sign.
Yeah.
And I still don't know how I feel about that in the grand scheme of, you know, educating the children and in real life. But I get to say something and I don't get angry. And so that's what I do.
So it's a growing experience for you.
Yeah. So I don't get as angry and mama bear as much. But some days where just everyone is like doing something, like every once in a while I'll like shout at someone through the window, hang up your phone. So
yeah,
well, and I've definitely found myself saying things like, mama yelled because she was scared. When you get scared, do you yell? Yes, you do yell when you get scared. Sometimes things happen that make us scared, you know.
Authenticity.
What are you gonna do?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Huh. Okay, well, before we close up, maybe there are people out there probably who are interested in doing this, but are concerned they fall into that demographic. What would you, either of you, say to someone who wants to do the kid biking thing, but is not yet confident?
Well, group rides are excellent. Both of our cities, Portland and Seattle, have wonderful critical mass.
Critical mass.
So hopefully you're in a city with one.
Plug it. What's your website?
Our critical mass rides are under familybike.org.
There we go.
And my website is familyride.us, where I also mention critical mass rides.
Perfect.
And here in Portland, you'll get critical mass at criticalmasspdx.org.
Okay.
So it's a shame if you're in a city without one, but, other group rides, any slow ride should be kid friendly, or maybe not kid friendly, maybe not kid specific. I really enjoy the kid specific rides. Whereas I would say critical mass is kid friendly, but not kid specific, meaning it might not have a potty at the beginning and the end and no playground, because that is what I usually try to work around. And
any place could be a potty or a playground, right?
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
If my experience as an adult has taught me anything. Excellent. Are there any other web addresses we should throw out there? I think we've got most of them.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Excellent. Well, thank you, Maddie Carlson, for coming out and chatting with us a little bit. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Good luck with the trip home.
Thank you.
And good luck with everything else. And Katie Proctor, Critical Mass, thank you so much.
Always a good time.
All right, folks, the next time we talk to you, we will have been on a bicycle trip, on a bicycle journey, down from San Francisco to San Luis Obispo. Depending on when you hear this, either we are just leaving or we just got back. But yeah, either way, look forward to sharing those stories with you. You can find us on the internet at thesprocketpodcast.com. Send feedback about the program, suggestion for topics, guests, or drinks. Write us via email. The address is thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. Call and leave us a message or text to 503-847-9774. And as another podcast host I enjoy once said, pretend operators are standing by. Connect with us on Twitter at Sprocket Podcast. Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music. Thanks to Hurt Bird for our headline sounder, which you will hear on our next show. And thanks, always, thank you to our sustaining donors, Logan Smith, Shadowfoot, Katharina Mellengard, Roger Grigsby, and Wayne Norman. We will talk to you all soon. Have a fantastic week. Production.